For a pledge of allegiance, and then we'll have a moment of silence following that.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And a moment of silence for Behavioral Health and Recovery Services employee Elizabeth Ringel. Thank you. Okay, we'll start today's meeting with public comment. It's the time on the agenda when anybody can speak to this Board of Supervisors on any issue within our purview. I do have two specific requests to speak, and we'll start with those. First is Stuart Aller. Good morning.
Morning. Thank you. I'm here this morning in opposition to Senate Bill 1221, which has just passed the Assembly Water Parks and Wildlife Committee after 6 votes. They finally got it through. This is an anti-hunting bill which eliminates the use of dogs to pursue bear and bobcat in the state of California. This has been adopted in other states. In the state of Oregon, Measure 18 passed in 1994. Since Measure 18 passed and they eliminated the use of hounds, depredations have increased by over 400%, and depredations cost money. They have to hire someone, and that's the same thing that will take place here in California. They've had to dispatch over 400 bears in Oregon since this measure was passed that were threatening the lives of people, and dispatch means to be killed. This bill says that the Fish and Game will have the authority to dispatch or kill any dog that they feel is pursuing a bear or a bobcat. This is a terrible bill. It will hurt our economy. There are hundreds and hundreds of hunters that use dogs that live in this county, as well as many others that join those. We have the support of Kristen Olson, Assemblywoman. We also have the support of Anthony Canella, a senator in our district here, my senator in my district, also Bill Berryhill, who is my assemblyman. And I've given you a packet that lists 16 counties of letters that have boards of supervisors which have already written letters to the governor in opposition to this bill. We have 4 more that I don't have printed, so we already have 20 counties out of 58 counties that are in opposition to this bill. And what I'm asking you to do today, because of the economic impact and because of the impact of taking away tradition and our rights, is for this board to also follow suit and write a letter in opposition to SB 1221 to the governor.
Very good. Any questions? We'll take a look at this, see what we can
Thank do. You so much.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Deborah Harper.
Good morning.
My name is Deborah Harper, and I reside in Modesto County.
Pull that mic down a little bit.
Thank you. And it's been a while, a few meetings since I've been able to attempt to make this statement, but it fit earlier. I haven't looked at your agenda today, so I apologize if I'm contrasting anything. But even though we disagree, everyone is going to disagree with each other throughout the county and on this planet, period. So if we could learn to just pray that we encourage each other to be respectful and encourage each other to stabilize our community. And if we're tearing things down, we don't have the energy or the effort going into stabilizing the economy and the community. Our economy is not going to stabilize with everybody elsewhere. It starts with each individual in this county. So I wanted to thank you very much. I've had the opportunity to come to meeting after meeting after meeting, and for a variety of reasons. And it's just an amazing thing to come in here and watch every single one of you make the effort with what you're doing in this chambers. And I was just Brookdale High graduate. Didn't know this place existed, didn't know what you did in here. Everybody takes everything for granted out in the county. They just take it for granted that everything's going the way it's going because that's the way it's supposed to be. But you actually make the effort with what you do in this county. There's effort made. People are thinking and making decisions behind the scenes, causing things to work the way they work and function the way they function. I just wanted to thank you very much, every single one of you, for all of that effort year after year after year. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to address this board under public comment? Seeing none, I'll move to consent calendar. Any board of supervisor wish to pull anything off consent calendar? I do need to make one correction on item A3D. We have an incorrect ending date listed in the staff report. The correct ending date is December 30th, 2012. So, clerk, if we could make that adjustment. Anybody in the audience wish to comment on any consent calendar items listed with an asterisk on the agenda? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board.
Make a motion to approve.
Motion by Withrow.
Second.
Second by Monteith. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes 5-0. Thank you. Moving on to item B7, approval to accept the 2012 annual public health report to the Board of Supervisors. Good morning, Dr. Walker.
Good morning, John Walker, County Public Health Officer. And with me this morning is Dr. Del Morris, Medical Director of the Health Services Agency, and Elaine Emery, who is the Nutrition Services Program Manager for the Health Services Agency. This morning's report is a follow-through to the report that we provided to you last year. And in that report, we summarized our progress in chronic diseases in the county, and you may recall that we had a significant decrease in deaths related to cardiovascular disease, stroke, cancer, and overall decrease in mortality during the first decade of the 21st century. But you made note that there was not an improvement in the diabetes death rate either in our county and the state of California. So we as an agency developed a strategic team to look at that area and bring information back to your board today. We've been meeting monthly, focusing on a number of activities. This is a three-year project within our agency, and we want to summarize the first year. What I want to share with you in the next slide is the background of the obesity epidemic within the United States, and frankly, it's become a global epidemic. So back in 1985, the white squares are those states which really were not monitoring their obesity rates, and in light blue, those where the rate was less than 10%, and darker blue where it was 15 to 19. And let's see the next slide. And this is only 10 years later in 1995. And you can see at that point, all states were monitoring this data. And we started to see some states where the rate was approaching 20%. Next slide. 10 years later, dramatic change. At this point, we only had three states with a rate less than 20%, and started to use a new color code, which is the orange and red. Next slide. Here we are in 2010 with most of our states having a rate exceeding 20%, some greater than 30% with it. As you can see, the highest rates in the southeast and southwest. So this is the slide that we showed you last year. So we're looking locally now rather than nationally. And what we shared with you last year is that in blue is the rate during that first 10 years of the 20th century for our county in blue. And you can see that we had an alarming 56% increase in adults who were overweight or obese during that time compared to 25% for the state as a whole. Next slide, please. So given that, we went back to our operational construct. And our operational construct as an agency is to look at public health in Stanislaus County as a system, not as a department. So it's not that building on Scenic Drive out in front of the former county hospital. It's a system. And that system has stakeholders and affiliations. And so we looked at what were the things that we could do as a system to make an intervention. And the intent of this report is to give you an update. Next slide, please.
Good morning. My name is Elaine Emery, and I'm the manager for nutrition services for the agency. So one of the things that we use as an agency to start approaching these problems is the spectrum of prevention. And this is a tool that has been developed years ago and really is a broad framework that helps one move from the lowest, which is strengthening individual knowledge and skills, up to the top, which is influencing policy and legislation. And as you can see, the arrow goes from the bottom to the top, meaning the lowest has the least impact to the highest impact. And so we use this to help people and groups move from going beyond the perception that prevention is just education. It's a lot more than that. One of the things that came out a while back was a study that showed that retail food environment and obesity rates has a connection. And unfortunately, in our county, the connection is high. So this looks at the number of fast food or limited food outlets that have healthy foods versus outlets in grocery stores and markets that have healthy foods. And so you see our percentages, or our number is 5.5. So that means there's 5.5 times more unhealthy places versus healthy places. And studies also show that numbers that are over 5, you tend to have a 20% higher prevalence of obesity than if your number is 3, like the higher income areas such as Marin. And of course, I'm sure most of you can understand why, but those are some of the things that we're fighting against, and we have these data to start looking at it and knowing how we're going to try to approach it. Healthy eating and active living is really a term that we use to look at how we start approaching these problems. And we don't just look at public health entities. We look at schools, we look at childcare, we do workplaces, schools, meaning things like helping to change their laws so they don't have sugar-sweetened beverages available to the kids. Workplaces, we're really working on increasing things like encouraging our employees to walk during their breaks, that they have healthier foods available to them, that when they have things brought in for meetings on outside occasions, that they do use healthy foods versus donuts and things like that. Making sure that there's breastfeeding places or lactation stations for our employees to have available to them so they breastfeed longer, which we all know has equates to the employees being using their less sick time and then also having healthier babies. also community design, starting to look at how communities are planned, that we have walking paths available, biking paths available, that there's healthy access to foods available to them. Our program has recently received some funding for SNAP Ed, and SNAP Ed means nutrition education to the food SNAP population. And as we know that the lower economic level of our county tends to have the higher obesity rates, and these are areas that funding has been funneled into from the federal government to really start looking at that. And our new term is NEOP. We tend to throw a lot of terms around, but NEOP is a new one, and that one is Nutrition Education and Obesity Prevention. And we've recently just been awarded some funding for the next 4 or 5 years looking at that and really focusing on our low-income areas in the county. One of the things that we are currently doing is called Communities of Excellence. And that's, again, not just doing one-on-one nutrition education to the low-income people, but also looking at the environment. How many stores are available in these areas? What are the walking paths? What is the marketing environment? And then our next phase is looking at bringing that information to the community and having them have some input on how we want to make some changes. Just an example of a big campaign that's coming up this summer is Rethink Your Drink. We're, again, encouraging a lot of different sectors in the community on decreasing sugar-sweetened beverages and increasing water. And we will be doing this through not only our agency, but we have many, many partners throughout the county that will be embarking on this campaign to have, the biggest impact on the behavior of our community. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Del Morris, and I'm the medical director for the Health Services Agency. And what I want to do is just briefly give you our perspective on how we're doing the overall approach to this epidemic on diabetes and obesity, and just some of the concepts behind the idea. We're approaching this looking at it from the population health perspective, and this provides the continuum of healthcare from the community to the individual patient. And the tenets of population health, we're looking at healthcare delivery as it benefits the majority of the population. We're looking at an approach that has providers and patients sharing responsibility to improve the quality and safety of care. Diabetes is one of the chronic disease problems that face our community, and management of chronic care can have one of the largest impacts on improved quality, decreased cost of care, and overall improved quality and safety is the framework for health and wellness, which is our ultimate goal. Next slide. This is basically similar to a previous slide, except it's sort of turned upside down, but it has the same general meaning with some examples, showing that the largest impact on population health are things like socioeconomic factors, environment, community environment that will lead people sort of the default setting to making healthy choices. An example of the current problem in our healthcare system is that we are heavily focused on treatment of disease. In fact, in our country as a whole, 95% of the healthcare dollar is spent on treatment of disease and only 5% on prevention and wellness. Certainly, in the long run, in terms of reforming our healthcare system, we'd like to change that ratio. And the current reality, just imagine if the airline industry was curative, which is sort of what we are operating on now, that airplanes would only be inspected after crashes rather than before every flight, which is actually not the most efficient way. The current reality, though, of true reform is that we are moving through the first curve of what's called the craft age, which is trying to improve process, and we're moving into the information age, in which we're focusing on populations rather than individuals, and this requires collaboration between the healthcare delivery system, like our HSA, and public health coordination, and overall teamwork of all different levels of healthcare services and providers, with the long-term goal of an epidemic of health and wellness. Now, focusing on the diabetes project, what I'd like to do is just give you a picture of how this approach can work. And one of the components of safety is continuity, and it involves community, institution, and patients. So if you were to look at just the first row called structure, you can see how these things would be interconnected, moving from the community level to the institutional level to the patient level, to see how this concept would work. And then if you look down one row, like say the community role, and look at the structure, process, and outcome, once again you can see how this approach, which is a population approach, is done. And this is the concept we're using in addressing the obesity and diabetes. Thank you.
So we just want to finish up sharing with you some encouraging data that has been recently published. And this map is from the 2012 California Community Health Profiles from the State Health Department that came out just in April. And this is the map of diabetes mortality in the state of California, looking at the period 2008 to 2010. And essentially, on this map, there are basically four quartiles. One of those where the data numbers were not large enough to include them in the studies, and those are the counties where they're stippling. Then there are those where the rate was the lowest, and those are in white. And then in gray is the third quartile, and then in deeper blue is the fourth quartile. And there we are in the third quartile. This is reflective of a 10% decrease in our county's diabetes mortality during that period, that three-year period, compared to the prior three-year period. So we are starting to go in the right direction. And then the last slide is a study that was done jointly by Dr. Goldstein's group in Davis and the UCLA Health Policy Institute. And this was quite a study looking at the period 2005 through 2010 with the Department of Education. And this is a study in which annually they're looking at the weight of 5th, 7th, and 9th graders. And so what the study looks at is what counties are improving, what counties are deteriorating. And I apologize for all the numbers. This is a really crowded slide. But there we are in the midst of this, where we see that our county, during that time period, had a 2.1% decrease in overweight and obesity in our 5th, 7th, and 9th graders. Frankly, that's a big deal. It's a big deal because we were in the 40s, 40% overweight obesity in our school children. And in that time, we had a decrease. And if you can study this, you can see that some counties had significant increases. So we're starting to go in the right direction. I really want to end by saying that I really appreciate, just as the woman was saying earlier, what some of the things that you are doing as policymakers in this county. I had the opportunity last summer to speak in an event on the West Side. Supervisor DeMartini invited me to speak at the launch of their Biggest Losers contest. And frankly, I was inspired by what you folks are doing there on the West Side. You remember I put up the spectrum of prevention that Elaine showed you? And I said, you guys are at level 6. Because I saw the energy that I felt in that room, the fact that you had business, that you had education, that you had healthcare providers, that you had public safety, all on your teams in terms of what you were doing, that makes a difference. In November, Supervisor Withrow, I sat next to you at an event where you'll recall that was really a regional, even though it was co-sponsored by the Medical Society. We brought together policymakers, physicians, representatives of our residency program, elected officials, talking about our built environment. So I think that we are making a difference. And I encourage all of you to look at the appendix in that report so that you can see what the many stakeholders in our public health system are doing to make a difference. You know, this has been called the diabesity epidemic, and that's because there's a link between obesity and diabetes. And I am encouraged that we as a community are joining forces to make a difference. So last slide, we're open to any questions and comments.
Any questions, comments?
Mr. Chairman, I appreciate your plug for the healthcare task force on the West Side. We're still in operation, and we're going to do our Biggest Loser weigh-in on August 23rd this year. But the speaker this year is Dr. David Kilburn, who's going to do a variation on Dr. Goldstein's Rethink Your Drink. As the title of the speech is called The Skinny on Obesity, which I thought was kind of cute. But we're still at it, and you know, we have healthcare providers like Golden Valley and Emanuel Hospital and Sutter Gould as part of our group, 3 school districts and 3 cities, the business community. And so we're very aware of the problem, and we're going into the schools and trying to make that difference.
Other questions or comments? Anybody in the audience wish to comment on this report? Seeing none. Supervisor Withrow?
I just want to, just the phrase that you used, you're treating, we're always treating the symptoms and not the disease, and I just think that is so key to how you fix these things. I mean, you really go after the disease is what you're doing. And we want to do that throughout government. I wish we could do more of that and treat the disease rather than just continually treating the symptoms. And so I just want to congratulate you guys on what you're doing. You're obviously making progress. You're making headway here. And I hope you come back next year with more, you know, just continue with that. So, because that's just going to work its way throughout our community. You know, just the benefits of what you're doing there are going to work its way through our educational system. You know, there's no end to it, what we can get when we've got healthy people out there in the workforce. So congratulations to you guys, what you're doing.
My comment, thank you also for this presentation, and I'm always astounded by the facts. It's pretty alarming. But one thing I have to tell you, Dr. Walker, you practice what you preach. If anyone doesn't know, Dr. Walker doesn't have an ounce of body fat on him, still works out all the time. He lives by what he talks about, and we all need to do a better job. I mean, we're examples, and I know I put on weight, and over the years, we sit around here and we go to parties and eat and drink too much. So I think we should challenge ourselves, you know, as individuals to lead by example too. So thank you.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yes, sir.
This is a pedometer. And I wear it. The goal is 10,000 steps a day. And that's a start. Just start by monitoring daily what your activity is. I was recently on vacation back east with my grandchildren, and we were doing a history tour, and we were up to 10,000. By noon, we were at 10,000. So here's a start, a pedometer. I recommend it.
Very good. There's a motion to approve the report.
So moved.
Motion by Montes.
Second.
Second by Chiesa. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you very much for another good report. Thank you. Okay, moving on to correspondence.
This board has received a copy of the minutes from the Department of Fish and Game Wildlife Conservation Board regarding the approval of the Dos Rios Ranch project in Stanislaus County.
Refer to Fish and Wildlife Committee, Department of Public Works, and Agriculture Commissioner on similar ways and measures.
This board has received a letter from the Gallo Center for the Arts regarding the proposed annual 2012-13 budget.
Refer to Chief Executive Office.
This board has received a letter from the City of Modesto with copies of the 2011 annual water quality report for the water systems of Modesto, Salida, Grayson, Del Rio, Hickman, Waterford, and areas of Ceres and Turlock.
Refer to Department of Environmental Resources and the Department of Public Works.
This board has received a copy of the Stanislaus County Grand Jury final reports regarding the Stanislaus County Sheriff's Department, the Stanislaus Consolidated Fire District, and the detention facility inspections.
Refer to the sheriff and the chief probation officer.
And the board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
We acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisor reports? Supervisor DeMartini.
I would just like to mention again the Westside Healthcare Task Force Biggest Loser contest that we will be holding at Newman's Westside Theater at noon on August 23rd. Last year we had 9 teams in all 3 cities, including Augustine, one of our members, had teams, 2 of the 3 school districts, and then the rest from the public. So it's quite an event. We have a speaker, and we even provide lunch at no cost.
Very good. Any other reports? All right, Legislative Fiscal Management Report, Chief Executive Officer.
Yes. The legislature began a one-month recess starting July 6th and scheduled to return on August 6th. Many legislators are in full campaign mode during this recess. Before the recess, there was a lot of activities on various state bills. The legislature did approve moving the water bond from the November 2012 ballot to the 2014. This is the second time this bond has been moved after initially being approved on the 2010 ballot, and there was serious discussion about trimming the bill back before the 2014 ballot measure. Lawmakers in 2009 said the bond was for crucial upgrades to the California water and infrastructure and would include $3 billion for new storage projects, which also include both above and below ground reservoirs. The Senate and Assembly approved $8 billion of initial funding for the $68 billion high-speed rail project after vigorous debate. Pension reform legislation did not happen prior to the recess. There was a lot of discussion about a new tier and also to put some curbs on exempt employee retirement benefits. It also looks like there will be significant change to airtime. Airtime is the ability for state workers to buy back years of work credit instead of actually having to work those years and receive credit towards their pension calculations. Also, in this county utilizes this legislation, a bill to extend the design build authority, which is SB 1517 by Wolk, is in print. Existing law currently exists until July 1st of 2014. We're asking authorization for counties to use alternative procedures known as design build for bidding on specific types of construction projects in counties that are in excess of $2.5 million. SB 1517 would extend the sunset date from the 2014 to July 1st of 2018. On the federal side, both chambers were in recess for the week of July 2nd, and they are due back this week. Thank you.
Very good. We have closed session. County Council?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. We have closed session conference with legal counsel to discuss existing litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9 Subdivision A, involving one case, that is Dennis Wallace versus County of Stanislaus et al., Stanislaus County Superior Court, case number 663764. Additionally, we'll have conference with legal counsel to discuss anticipated litigation involving one matter pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9 Subdivision C. We do not expect to report out on either of those matters.
We are adjourned to closed session.